Amen. Thank you, Jim. Hope you'll take your Bible and open up to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, Paul's letter to the church in Ephesus, an amazing book of the Bible. If you've never read the book of Ephesians for yourself, I encourage you to take some time this week and read through it. It's only six chapters. You could read through it in one sitting if you wanted to, or split it up over a couple of days. That's fine, too. Ephesians chapter 4 is where we're preaching from today. We're looking at some different ways that we can grow as Christians to maturity. I want to show you some different things about growing to maturity. But before I do that, I want to tell you what we're talking about today and give you a little bit of a story about maybe how not to do it. There's some things in life that we know we should do more of, like eat more vegetables, work out, pray. You know, we talked about prayer a couple of weeks ago. When we said there's probably no one in the world that can say, I pray enough. I don't really need to pray anymore. All of us could pray more. And today we're going to talk about another one of those things that all of us kind of, we already know we should do more. And we feel kind of convicted when somebody tells us about it and we talk about it and we're like, yeah, I really need to do more of that. But then when it comes into our day-to-day life, we just, the day slides by and we forget about it, or maybe there's an opportunity and we're just a little bit too nervous and we let it pass by. So what we're talking about today is evangelism and sharing the gospel, telling other people what it means to follow Jesus and how you decided to follow Jesus and how they can follow Jesus. One of my heroes in ministry, Ed Stetzer, has a famous saying about Christians. He says, Christians love evangelism when someone else is doing it. Because I'm a little nervous about it myself, but if you would go share the gospel with people and people got saved, we can praise God about that because I love evangelism. I'm just not all that wild about doing it myself, right? So we all know we should, and that's what I want to talk about. How can we grow in sharing our testimony and being more comfortable in openly talking about the gospel message with other people? I want to show you what happened to the Ephesians when they got saved, when they gave their lives to Jesus, when they decided we're going to become followers of Jesus. You see this in Ephesians 4. We're going to begin in verse 20. So our growth series right now, we're talking about the different ways that we can grow to maturity, like I said. And Paul gives a number of different suggestions. We've talked about how we can serve the body of Christ. We can serve the church by using our gifts. We've talked about how we can be edifying and uplifting in our speech, not to let any unwholesome talk come out of our mouths. And we've talked about how we can grow in learning how to identify false teaching. That was where we were last week. We talked about different faith groups and groups that teach things that are not according to Scripture. Including Mormons, Jehovah's Witnesses, and the prosperity gospel. Those were the examples that we used that we have to be careful and guard against. But today, in Ephesians 4:20, read there with me, we're going to read the next few verses. That, however, is not the way of life you learned when you heard about Christ and were taught in him accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by deceitful desires, and to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. So what is Paul doing here? Now, he's not giving them an exact, explicit command to do evangelism, but he's telling them that you have experienced this dramatic transformation in your life, and it's requiring you to put off the old way of living and put on the new way of living. The way Paul says it in another place is that in Christ, everyone who is in Christ is a new creation. The new creation has come when you give your life to Jesus. There's a radical, dramatic transformation that happens. And the gospel message says that that conversion experience, when we place our faith in Jesus, that that's where we're justified and made right with God. That's how we know we're going to heaven. That's how we know we've received Jesus. It's by this life-transforming event of placing our faith in Christ. So you've gone through that, and the results of it are that you want to be transformed. You have to put off your old self, live like the new self. Let me give you another example of where Paul tells people that. Keep your finger in Ephesians 4, because we'll be back there in just a minute. But I wanted to show you in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. This is the way Paul expresses this life transformation to the Corinthian church. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, we're going to look at verses 9 through 11. Or do you not know that wrongdoers will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who have sex with men, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor slanderers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And that is what some of you were. But you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. You had a radically different way of living before, and it's transformed now because of Jesus. You used to live life like that, but now you have a new kind of life that you ought to be ready to tell others about. It ought to be apparent in your life even. There's different stories in the Bible that tell similar stories of dramatic experiences. And even this one I love from John chapter 9. There was a man who was blind, and Jesus healed him. That made a lot of people mad. That's an odd thing to get mad about, right? You think you would get mad if somebody that was blind was suddenly able to see because Jesus healed him? I hope not. That's not a normal reaction to that. But these religious leaders were mad because it was giving Jesus credibility. So these religious leaders called the blind man up in front of them. And they said, "Tell us, is this man," meaning Jesus, "is he a sinner?" Now, what kind of weird question is that? Is he a sinner? Like, this guy knows, he doesn't even know much about Jesus. And that's what the guy answers. So they said, "You tell us, is this man a sinner?" And here's the previously blind man's brilliant reply. "Whether this man is a sinner or not, I don't know. But one thing I do know, I once was blind, but now I see." He couldn't see, and now he can see. And he didn't have any problem telling people about it. He was proud to stand in front of them, even though he knew they probably weren't liking what he was saying. He was proud to stand there in front of them and tell them, "I once was blind, but now I see." And that, after we experience the radical kind of life change that we should when we come to Jesus, we should be equally willing to stand in front of people and tell them, "You know, I used to live in life with no hope, and I wasn't sure what my purpose and my meaning were, and I didn't know how to relate with God. I didn't know if he was angry with me or if he loved me, or I didn't know any of that. But then when I met Jesus, all of that came into focus, and now I understand why he's made me, and I understand that I now have peace with God through faith in Christ, and it's made this entire life transfer." That's what we should be able and willing to do. But I can think that some of you might be saying, "Well, I mean, if I was blind and now I could see, that would be something like I could tell people about. That's a miracle. I would be able to testify about that. I would be able to give a testimony about that. But me, I grew up in church. You know, I never did like terrible things. I came to believe in Jesus maybe when I was 10 years old. So I just don't have this dramatic story to tell people." I want to challenge that idea a little bit. I mean, we just saw a guy that was blind, but then he could see. I mean, that's a dramatic story, right? Would you agree with me that if you had that kind of dramatic experience, you would be willing to tell people about it? I mean, it would not be that hard for you in just casual conversation to bring that up and say, "Hey, let me tell you about this amazing thing that happened to me." But you're thinking, "Well, if something that amazing happened to me, then I could talk about it. But, you know, my story just isn't that exciting." Let's look back at Ephesians. Remember, I told you to keep your finger there. I don't know if you followed those instructions completely. But if not, then just flip back. Ephesians. We're going to look at chapter 2 now. We're going to jump back a little bit in the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 2. I want you to see. Because not anyone in this room that I'm aware of has gone through an experience where they were blind, but now they see. But here's what Paul says has happened to you if you believe in Jesus. Ephesians 2, verse 1. "As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work at those who are disobedient." Look down at verse 5. "God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved." I want to move down a little bit farther to verse 12. "Remember that at that time," meaning before you came to Christ. Remember, at that time, you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in this world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. This is what Paul says has happened to you if you've trusted in Christ and given your life to him today. So, no, you haven't gone from not seeing physically to being able to see. Something much more dramatic than that has happened to you. You were dead, and now you're alive. That ought to be something you can talk about, right? So how do we do this? How do we actually tell people in a way that's not incredibly socially awkward about Jesus, right? So there's one example. A friend that I know had this happen to somebody that he knew, but there was actual evidence for it, okay? So my friend's friend, she was sitting in the parking lot at some store like Walmart or Walgreens or something like that, just sitting in her car, and this guy comes up and knocks on her window like he wants to tell her something or something. You know, and she's uncomfortable. She's like there by herself, or maybe she's got some kids in the back. I forget exactly how the story goes. But, you know, man coming up knocking on the window kind of frantically, you're like, is this even safe? So she just cracks her window just slightly so she can, you know, hear what's going on. And while the window is cracked, he takes a piece of paper that she hadn't seen until now and shoves it in the window and runs away. And I have the piece of paper here for you to see. I think this is my next slide. Let's see. Oh, you know what, Carson, hit next for me. I don't think my thing is working. Here we go. There's the note that was shoved in her window unexpectedly. Here's what it says. I'll read it to you. I know it's a little bit small up there. God is love, but he is also holy, 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 and hates sin with a holy hatred. His sinless son is the only hope. Repent. Amend your evil way, turn from your sins, and be saved. Only Jesus Christ can wash your sins away by his blood. Unless you repent of your sins and believe in Christ, you will die in your sins. Now, that's the note that she got shoved in her window. This is not my recommended tips, okay? I'm not recommending you imitate this. Now, listen. Ultimately, now, I would probably phrase some things differently in here, but ultimately, the message is not wrong. We are sinners in need of a Savior. The cross is where our sins are forgiven. His resurrection is what gives us hope. We repent and trust in Jesus. That's what makes this life transformation take place. God does that in us through faith. So that part's right. But knocking on someone's window that you don't know and shoving the note in may not be the best way to go about that. So, but here's another thing that I told you, Ed Stetzer's quote earlier, that Christians love evangelism as long as someone else is doing it. Well, here's another quote that I like from his. I like the way I do evangelism better than the way you don't. So I have that in mind when I take this note and I see the guy shoved it in the door, and it's kind of a strange way to act and say, that's probably not the best way to do it. At least he's out there trying something. I give him credit for that. I'm happy to see that. But I think there are better ways, and that's one of the ways that I wanted to help you try to grow today. And how can we helpfully, winsomely share the gospel message with people? So that's what I want to show you. And I've got a little bit of an outline for you today. Some of you guys have been missing that. Oh, yeah, hit next for me, Carson. I forgot that thing wasn't working. All right, it's coming up here in a minute, I think. Maybe hit one more. Here we go. How can we speak the truth in love? That's what this is about. Paul said, speaking the truth in love, we will grow into maturity for him who is the head, that is Christ, right? So first of all, I want you to know that your life has been transformed by Jesus. That's what we spent some time talking about this morning already. But I also want you to know that in saying that, I'm assuming that your life has been transformed by Jesus. Because if your life hasn't been transformed by Jesus, then your life hasn't been transformed by Jesus. Does that make sense? But I'm talking here to people who have believed in Christ. There may be some of you who haven't made that decision yet. But if you have, if you belong to Christ, then your life has been radically changed by Jesus. He has done this work in you. He has brought you from death into life. One of the songs that we sing here called Death Was Arrested. alone in my sorrow and dead in my sin. This is how we start off the song, I think. Isn't that the first verse? Alone in my sorrow and alone in my sorrow and dead in my sin, lost without hope with no place to begin. I want to sing it now. Lost without hope with no place to begin. We sing that, and we even worship to it. But do we really believe that? Did we have no hope? Sometimes, maybe it's been so many years since you've been a Christian that you don't remember what it was like to not have hope in Christ. That this is like, it's so old to you that it's just like your normal way of living. Maybe you need to go back and remember. Maybe it was you were a child. Maybe you need to think about what was it that brought me to the point where I knew that I needed to hand my life over to Christ and ask him to be my Savior. Maybe you need to go back and think about that. Maybe you need to remember your own testimony. We're actually going to talk about that in just a minute. But your life has been transformed by Jesus. Even if that doesn't mean great, terrible outward sins that you can point to and say, you know, I used to do this, these terrible things. I used to be a murderer and everything. And now I'm not. That's what Jesus... You know what speaks to people in our culture even more than those kind of life transformations, those outward life transformations? Like, you know, I mean, some of you guys, I've heard some of your testimonies. Some of you would say, I ruined my life because of alcohol. And I lost everything. And then I met Jesus, and he turned my life around. Those are dramatic testimonies. So people need to hear testimonies like that. But not all of us have a testimony like that. You know what speaks to people in our culture today even more than, oh, that kind of transformation, is that I had no hope, I had no purpose, I had no meaning. I didn't know where I was pointed in life. I was just walking through life trying to get by day to day, but knowing Jesus is what has brought all of those things into focus. It's the postmodern mindset. That's what people are looking for. How can they find purpose and meaning? And what is there really to experience in this? If you can let them know that even looking back on it now, you realize the hopelessness with which you were facing life compared to what you can face now, even when disaster strikes. I mean, our small group today was in the book of Job. Even when things like happen to Job, happen to you, the Lord gives, the Lord takes away, blessed be the name of the Lord. I can face anything that this life throws at me because I know that I have a rock, a fortress, a deliverer in Christ. My anchor holds within the veil, right? No matter the storm that's blowing. So you've had a radical life transformation. Sometimes you need to go back and think about it. And if you want to know exactly how to do that, I have got a simple 3-part outline for sharing your testimony. You don't even have to write this down. It's so easy. Ready? Your life before Christ, how you became a Christian, and your life after Christ. That's all you got to tell. You can tell it in short format in 30 seconds. You can tell it in long format in 10 minutes if you want to. But if you're talking to someone who doesn't know the gospel, and you can explain how it really makes a difference in your life, God may take that message and those words that you're sharing with them, maybe right there on the spot, maybe days, weeks, or years later, and use it in their life to initiate that work of transformation. You can share your testimony, life before Christ, how you became a Christian. You could start off, my life before Christ, my family and friends and interests were this. My most important value in life before I became a Christian was this. My religious background was this. When you became a follower of Jesus, you can talk about what was it that awakened you to your need. You can talk about what you noticed about yourself or about God at that point that made you realize your need for Christ. You could say the aspects of the gospel that really amazed me most were this. Tell them where you were, what happened, who was speaking to you. Let them know how this gospel transformation happened in your life, and then tell them what changed about your life, your life since that time, what you're doing now. You can tell them how your desires have changed, how your hope is present now. You've been transformed by Jesus. I thought about this morning, I'm not going to do this, But I thought about taking some time this morning and having you turn to your neighbor beside you and work out your testimony just in 30 seconds. Tell about your life before Christ. Tell about how you came to know Jesus. Tell about your life after. Now, some of you are like, well, I'm glad he didn't do that. You're like nervous even thinking about it. But here's the thing. When you're riding home in your car today and nobody else is in the car, maybe you're driving by yourself, maybe go out in the yard, take a walk around the block today, tell your story to yourself. Say, if I was going to give my testimony in 30 seconds, set your watch, look at the time, you know, get your phone out, get the clock app, 30 seconds, I've got it. If you don't sit down and do it and work it out before you actually get in the conversation, you're going to be so nervous about it. But if you will try it, practice it a little bit by yourself or with a family member or with a friend, when it comes time in conversation to do that, you'll be like, you know what, I can do that. I've told that story before. How many stories about your life could you tell? I mean, you know, tell me about the time when you were in school doing that. Tell me about this event or that activity. Tell me about your high school graduation. Tell me about, you know, your earliest childhood memory. All this kind of stuff. Like, you could talk about stuff you know and you remember. You can talk about how you came to know Jesus. So, your life has been transformed by Jesus. I want you to know that. Here's the second one. You already know how to tell someone the gospel. And here I'm assuming that you know how to tell someone the gospel, right? I get that I'm assuming something here. So there may be some of you here that have never heard the gospel before, or maybe you're so new to it that you really couldn't. But most of you here, you could tell somebody how to become a Christian because you've become a Christian. That would be like, can you give me directions to New Song Fellowship? Well, most of you here could because you came here this morning, right? So you could tell somebody else how to get here. You became a Christian, so you can tell someone how to become a Christian, all right? So you can do that. Let me tell you about one time that I had to do that on the spot, and I was incredibly nervous and probably shaking. We went on a mission trip when I was in high school to Erie, Pennsylvania. And one of the things that we did on that mission trip, in the morning, like some of the group did VBS for kids, a lot of the men did construction work and everything, but we stopped all of that for the evenings, and everybody on the whole mission trip, as uncomfortable and as much as everybody didn't want to, we went out and did door-to-door canvassing of neighborhoods, knocking on the door, hoping someone would answer, or maybe hoping they didn't answer. And we had a survey that we'd say, we're with this local church, you know, this is a new church, and we're trying to do a survey of our community. We want to know some things about you. Would you mind answering a few questions? And if they said no, that's fine. But a lot of people would say, yeah, I'll answer a few questions. So we'd ask them what kind of music they like, what radio stations they listen to, did they have a church that they were attending, what was their religious background. And the last question would be, how do you think a person goes to heaven? And most people would say, well, you know, by being a good person, by that kind of thing. That was the most common answer, which is, by the way, the default way that people think. It's a works-based view of salvation, that I'm a good person, so God lets me into heaven. They don't know that that's completely opposite of what the Bible says. It's that it's not by works. It's by grace alone. And by faith is the way we receive salvation. So we would ask people, you know, how do you believe a person goes to heaven? And they would give their answer. And then we would say, thank you for your answers. Would you mind if I took a moment and shared with you what the Bible says about how a person goes to heaven? And some people would say, no, thanks. I'm not interested in that. But lots of people, a surprising number of people, said, sure, that's fine, go ahead. So I was a teenager, and I had two adults with me, one male and one female. They went the first two houses, and then we were walking up to the third house, and the guy that was our music minister at the time, he said, Brent, all right, it's your turn, you do this one. I was like, wait a minute, I'm not 18 yet. I thought I was just here long to watch. But I took a deep breath, and I was like, Okay, so I knock on the door, and this lady answers, and I can still kind of picture it in my mind, like the brick steps and everything. I mean, this is a scary thing, right? So I knock on the door, she answers, we go through the questions survey, she answers, and I say, would you like me to tell you what the Bible says about how a person goes to heaven? And right here I'm like, don't say yes, because I don't know what I'm going to say if you say yes. And she said, sure, go ahead.
And I don't know if she could see how nervous I was, but I was really nervous. I was probably talking way faster even than I am right now. And the first thing that came to my mind was the book of Romans. I know some verses from the book of Romans. Let's see, there's Romans 3:23 that says, well, the Bible says we've all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That means you and I, we've all sinned and we've broken God's law. And Romans 3:23 says that the wages of sin is death. That means the price that we get paid for our sin is death in God's judgment. But it follows that up with the, it says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So that even though what we deserve is death, God gives us a free gift of his grace in Jesus. And then Romans 10:9 says that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So that if you want to, even right here today, you can call on Jesus as your Lord and Savior in faith, and he'll save you from your sins, and you won't receive death, which is the appropriate punishment. You'll receive life instead. Now, I'm sure that's not word for word what I said, but I used Romans 3:23, 6:23, 10:9, and explained to the lady how to be saved. I didn't know that I knew how to do that until I was put on the spot, and suddenly it came out. So here's what you can do. You can practice ahead of time, number one, so you don't feel like the deer in the headlights like I did that day. Or you know what Jesus promises? That sometimes when people are asking us questions, the Holy Spirit will give us the words to say. If you make yourself open and available and say, Jesus, if you give me opportunities to talk about the gospel and to walk through that door, I'm going to trust that you'll give me the words to say at that time, that I won't butcher things, that I won't ruin everything. I'm just going to trust you. You actually know how to tell somebody the gospel. We just need to grow in our willingness to be willing to speak up. We have a testimony that we can share. From death to life, from no hope to hope, from meaninglessness to purpose, from lost to saved, from blind to see. You know how to share the gospel. You know this. You know how to tell, I'm a sinner. I needed God's forgiveness, and you do too. And I've got the, and Jesus is ready. He's willing to save you today. You know how to do that. So here's my recommendation for the last one to you, how to grow and be more willing to speak up. Three steps. Open up your eyes, number one. Open up your ears, number two. And open up your mouth, number three. All right, I thought this would be easy to remember. First of all, open up your eyes. Look around you and see the dramatic need for the gospel around you. We tend to see people around us as either scenery or machinery. Right? That's Marty Dupree. I quoted that to you guys before. Scenery or machinery. They're either decoration for our world around us, or they help us to get accomplish what we want to accomplish. Sometimes we don't stop and look with God's eyes to see people who he cares about, who he loves, and who need to hear the gospel. They need the hope that you have. Open up your eyes as you walk around in this life. Number two, open up your ears. That's kind of an odd one, right? We're talking about speaking. But when we are actually in a conversation talking with people about the gospel, if we would stop talking first and listen to where they are, what questions they have, what they're experiencing in this life. You've heard it said before that people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. You need to listen to people. Don't just be on a mission to get your message out there. People need to know that you authentically really care about them, that you really see them, that you care. So open up your eyes, open up your ears, and then the last step is open up your mouth. Be willing to speak. You can use some simple conversation-turning statements. I'm going to get these available to you guys, okay? I'm going to make them available this week. Email on our Facebook page. You can take a direct approach, and you say, would you mind if I took 5 minutes and shared the gospel with you? Just don't feel like you got to, like, figure out some way to fit it in an already going conversation. Like, I mean, just be honest with people. Say, you know, I really care about you, and there's been something I want to talk to you about for a long time.
Would it be okay if I just took a short time and just shared with you what is the gospel message from the Bible? Or you could say, I know you've been to church before, but have you ever really felt like you've understood the gospel? Or maybe the opposite. I know that you haven't ever been to church before. Maybe you've heard people talk about, use the word the gospel. Do you have any idea what that means? Would you like me to explain that to you? So there's kind of a direct approach. If you want to take a more indirect approach, you can ask people, what's your religious background? So tell me about what you believe about God. Or if maybe they've told you about an event that happened in their life, a dramatic event that happened. Tell me, how have your ideas about God changed since that event? Maybe they weren't even thinking along the lines of God and spiritual things. They were just telling you, you know, I had this happen to me last year. And you are able to turn the conversation. What do you think God thinks about this particular thing? Maybe something in the news? Or maybe since you've been here at church. Here's an example. I've been thinking all week about what we talked about in church this Sunday. Let me tell you about it. That would be great this week, right? This week in church, we talked about how to share the gospel or talk about Jesus with other people. And I'm really nervous about that, but I need somebody to practice on. Could I practice with you? You could do that this week. It would be, somebody would be like, you know what? Go ahead. I don't even care what you say. I'm just going to play along. You get to share the gospel with them. You don't even know what God might do. So open up your eyes. Open up your ears and open up your mouth. I'm going to send you these possible conversation turners. You may even have other suggestions. In fact, if you have some, send them to me, and I'll add those to the list, all right? And we'll send them out, give you some different ideas. But open up your mouth after you open up your eyes and your ears first. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much that you have given us this dramatic, life-changing story of being brought from death to life, of being changed from guilty to you seeing us now as innocent and righteous in Christ through faith. And we thank you for the stewardship of the gospel message that you have given us, this life-transforming message as the church to spread throughout the entire world as the only ultimate means of our hope for deliverance from our own sin and ourselves and our pride and the judgment that is to come. God, we don't need despair, and we don't need hopelessness, because Jesus died on the cross for us. So I'm thankful for those that are in this room today that have that powerful testimony, that they were alone in their sorrow and dead in their sin, and now you have broken in and given them new life. And I'm thankful for those maybe here that have never heard this gospel message, or maybe only heard it vaguely before in the past, that you brought them here intentionally this morning in your plan before the world was created, that they would hear about the message of Jesus today. And even let today be the day that they would turn to Christ, have their sins forgiven, and be saved. God, we give you great thanks and praise and honor today. You are worthy. The cross is everything. The resurrection is our hope. And Jesus is our King, and we proclaim it for everyone to hear today. Bless our time now as we worship together. God, help us to pour out our hearts in song. Be with us. In Jesus' name, amen.